A Prayer of Courage, Courageous Perseverance by Joe Kerr and Imogen Sorley. It takes courage to be crocus-minded. Lord, I'd rather wait until June, like wise roses, when the hazards of winter are safely behind and I'm expected and everything's ready for roses. But crocuses? Highly irregular, knifing up through hard frozen ground and snow, sticking their necks out because they believe in spring and have something personal and emphatic to say about it. Lord, I am by nature rose-minded. Even when I have studied the situation here and know there are wrongs that need righting, affirmations that need stating, and know also that my speaking out may offend, for it rocks the boat. Well, I'd rather wait until June. Maybe later things will work themselves out, and we won't have to make it an issue of it. Lord, forgive. Wrongs don't work themselves out. Injustices and inequities and hurt don't just dissolve. Somebody has to stick her neck out. Somebody who cares enough to think through and work through hard ground because she believes and has something personal and emphatic to say about it. Me, Lord, crocus-minded? Could it be there are things that need to be said and you want me to say them? I pray for courage. Amen.
So here we go on a continuing series of sermons on perseverance. Tomorrow is Louis Riel Day. Since 2008, Louis Riel Day has been an annual general holiday in the province of Manitoba on the third month of February. It commemorates the life of Louis Riel, a politician known as the father of Manitoba, who persevered, rather unsuccessfully to put it mildly, in the goal of promoting the rights of the Métis people of Western Canada. He was condemned to death by the Canadian courts in 1885 at the age of 41. I couldn't let that pass as we explore perseverance. Last week I defined perseverance as persisting in effecting a change despite the obstacles in your path. These obstacles might range from failures, frustrations, delays, fatigue, pain, and threat, even the threat of death. The important point here is that perseverance is irrevocably connected to agency and effort, to the desire and the ability to effect a change in the world. Perseverance is an act of our willpower. When we persevere, we choose to make ourselves uncomfortable, dedicating real effort to achieving a goal and bringing about a change in the world. I compared that last week with the idea of persistence. That we can persist in doing things that are not connected with any goal or any desire to bring about change or any discomfort for that matter. We can persist, and most of us do, persist in one or more bad habits, for example. But perseverance is not always good. It applies equally to effecting change that may be entirely selfish or goals that may be completely altruistic. You can persist in doing something good or something evil, or persevere in doing something good or something evil. For this morning, I set myself the task of exploring how our spirituality can guide and enable our perseverance, the connection between spirituality and perseverance. Back in September, my first sermon of this year, I attempted to define the term spirituality. If you remember, I just come back from a trip to Thunder Bay and I was feeling spiritual connection with that place. It's my contention that spirituality is a visceral, emotional, and intellectual sense of a benevolent connection, a connection to something or someone outside of ourselves. And it's my proposition this morning that our sense of spirituality is the best source of energy to sustain our perseverance. Before I tackle that, is perseverance necessarily a part of living a good life? The heritage of Unitarian Universalism is Protestant. And somewhere in that heritage would seem to be whispering to us always that perseverance is itself a virtue. Just persevering is virtuous. The author of that poem that Carol read for us, Crocus Minded, seems to think so. They wrote, "Lord, forgive. Wrongs don't work themselves out. Injustices and inequities and hurt don't just dissolve. Somebody has to stick their neck out. Somebody who cares enough to think through and work through the hard ground because she believes and has something personal and emphatic to say about it." I didn't intend to do this. I was getting ready to work on the sermon on Friday. And then I realized, my computer lit up, and there was an opportunity to hear Elizabeth May, the leader of the Green Party of Canada, speaking at Dalhousie. So I decided to drop what I was doing and go down there. Elizabeth May. Now, there's someone who is crocus-minded. Whether you agree with her or not, she has something personal and emphatic to say. And she perseveres in doing so despite the obstacles. Last week's sermon, I read a poem by Wendell Berry that speaks so powerfully to me that I want to read it again. He wrote, "Much protest is naive. It expects quick, visible improvement and despairs and gives up when such improvement doesn't come. Protesters who hold out for longer have perhaps understood that success is not the proper goal. If protest depended on success, there would be little protest of any durability or significance. History simply affords too little evidence that anyone's individual protest is of any use. Protest that endures, I think, is moved by a hope far more modest than that of public success, namely the hope of preserving qualities in one's own heart and spirit that would be destroyed by acquiescence. Protest that endures or perseveres is moved by the hope of preserving qualities in one's own heart and spirit." I actually had the temerity to bring a copy of that poem with me, and I gave it to Elizabeth May, because when I read that poem, I thought of her. I meant it as a compliment to her heart and her spirit. But I ask again, is perseverance a good thing? For some of us, perseverance is the struggle to overcome pain and frustration, and it's a matter of daily survival. The goal is just to survive, to get through the day, and that may take all the energy that we have at the time. But if you believe that life is worth living, then even in this situation, perseverance is, of course, a good thing. But even in this circumstance, more can be done. As you can do so easily on the computer, I looked at a list of quotations on perseverance and spirituality. Barack Obama has said, "The best way to not feel helpless is to get up and do something." For most of us, most of the time, perseverance is a choice. We can choose the goal that we're working towards. If we're choosing to persevere, then is it always a good thing? Our Puritan Protestant Christian roots would tell us that perseverance is a virtue. But that depends. There are criteria. First, as I commented earlier, we can persevere in good and altruistic causes, or we can persevere in selfish and destructive causes. And so whether perseverance is a good thing depends first on whether the goal of being that we're pursuing is a good thing. Second, is your perseverance affecting those around you negatively? And that's not a simple question. Your perseverance in a just cause will likely make others around you uncomfortable. But that, in itself, is not a bad thing. I think there are no problems facing humanity today that are beyond our ability to resolve. From climate change to poverty, to the eradication of disease. The main thing stopping us is the inertia of those who are comfortable with the status quo. And so when we persevere in a just cause, we'll inevitably run up against opposition from those who are comfortable with the way things are, and who are not prepared to do the work necessary and suffer the disruptions to change the world for the better. But perseverance taken to extreme can be a bad thing if it affects your responsibilities to your families, to your friends, and to your own life balance. This is a difficult call to make, especially if we think the goal we're working towards is to eliminate an existential threat, such as global warming or global climate change, for example. So I'm very aware that I'm speaking this morning to my congregation, Unitarian Universalists, sitting in church. I'm preaching to the choir. But my role here is to make us an even better choir. I believe that you all have your own personal sense of spirituality, in Wendell Berry's words, qualities in your own heart and spirit that guide your decisions. I believe that one of the reasons you're attending church is to clarify and strengthen those qualities of heart and spirit. And if it's those spiritual values that sustain your perseverance, then you're doing our work together as a religious community. Recall the reflective hymn this morning, that voice still and small, deep inside all. It not only calms our fears and quenches our tears, but it calls us to persevere. To persevere in bringing more love and justice into the world. The quote on the cover of the Order of Service is by José María Escrivá. It says, "To begin is for everyone. To persevere is for saints." Escrivá was a Spanish Roman Catholic priest who founded Opus Dei, an organization of lay people and priests dedicated to the teaching that everyone is called to holiness by God, and that ordinary life can result in sanctity. He died in 1975 and ironically was canonized by the Roman Catholic Church in 2002. But I have to respectfully disagree with this premise. To persevere is within the reach of us all. In fact, like most UUs I know, I disagree with the whole idea of saints, but that's for another sermon. Persistence is ultimately about engagement with life. There's a time and a place for just being and just living, but we're capable of more. We're called to do more. If we're not working towards a goal in life, then we're not truly engaged with life. We're losing the most precious gift that we've been given, the opportunity to learn and to grow in spirit, because growth requires sustained effort. So I'll close with an excerpt from a poem by M.J. Abel. The title is, "For She Who Has Tried." But it might have been, "For She Who Has Persevered." What does she know who has not tried? The woman who has traveled lonely paths knows how to find her way. She who has weathered losses gains compassion. Tested, she multiplies her resourcefulness. She who has not been tried, what does she know? For she who has been surprised abounds in vigilance. Betrayed, she recognizes what is true. scarred, she finds her resilience. Her illusions gone, she deepens. O woman, you follow a spiral, rounding and revisiting. The furrow you plow is your life. Reach deep within the soil you've loosened, draw forth its richness, be strengthened by grace, by the grace of your experience. May it be so in your life. Amen.